Tonight's lesson is called Freedom, and this is probably the most unusual sermon in the way that I received it. Not that the sermon's unusual, but the way that I received it is probably the most unusual I've ever had. I was studying on my own, just to give you a little background, because the reason I'm doing this is to let us know how much God wants us to have this word. And I was studying, and I came up with two scriptures that I was studying, and this was a study I was doing for myself. I just felt led to go to Galatians 5:1 and also John 8:31 through 32. And so I finished my study, and I laid it down, and a couple days later, I woke up one morning, and it just heard right straight off the bat, it was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. And the first thing I heard when I opened my eyes was that. So I thought, for a minute, it just startled me. And then I thought, God, are you saying that that's what for me to teach? Or is that what you're saying? Because you know how hard I've been praying for this message. Is that what you're saying? And it was just like I had just all of a sudden just peace about it, that this is the way to go. And so the study that I thought I was doing for myself was actually for us all. And so I laid back down there for a moment to just think about it, just to meditate on it a little bit. And I heard, freedom is everlasting. It's not a temporary thing. And I thought, I better write that down. So I got up and turned the light on, got my pen, wrote it down. And then I laid back down again. I thought, I just need to think about this and just pray some. And quick as I laid down, freedom is a place where behind you, what's behind you no longer calls to you. I laid back down again, and I thought, calls to you. And I just was kind of thinking, God, what are you doing here? So every time I wrote something down and laid back down, there was another one. And this went on until I had a whole outline. And I've never, ever had that happen to me before, ever. And so usually I've got one topic and I'm going with it, and he'll just help me divide it into sections. That's usually the way my teaching lesson goes that I'm doing. But this time I had the outline first, so it was really different for me to fill in, but it seemed like it was just a flowing of how to fill it in. But then after I got it all filled in, I didn't know how to teach it because it was so different, you know, than what I usually feels comfortable to me, you know. And he just began to speak to me that this is his word for us, and that he wants us to have it, and that he actually wants us to have it more than we want to receive it. And so just kind of giving you that kind of background to let us know that this is something God truly, truly wants to plant in our hearts. And so I started out with Galatians 5:1. And the New American Standard Version, because that's the version that I heard. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. Now, most of us is more used to the King James Version or the New King James Version. And I'm reading from the New King James Version now, where it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so it was for freedom that he came to this earth to set us free. Now we know that he came to save us, you know, and deliver us from sin. But he also wants us to be free from sin in our daily lives. And so freedom is everlasting. It's not a temporary thing. Topic one. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. So this word made free in this passage that we've been reading, that stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, or the other version which says has set us free. That term means having set free from sin, having become slaves of God. It basically means that it's the same word that's used in Romans 6:22 with the scripture that I just read as the made free that's in Galatians 5:1. It's the same exact word. And basically it means freedom from slavery, to liberate, to acquit, to set free. And that word liberty means freedom from slavery, absence of external restraint or negation of control or domination. When we're born again, the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8:2. So what I'm saying here is that when Christ came to set us free, he meant for us to be free. And he wanted us to be free from sin. And that same, it's kind of like a point of reference. We can understand being free from sin when we were born again. And so in that point of reference, that freedom that we gain at that time is everlasting. It will never end on this life or in the next, that freedom that we gained in being born again. And so that same kind of freedom that he's talking about there, he's saying that you can have that in other places. You can be so free that we are more in bondage than we realize sometimes. And so he wants us to understand that just like you could have forgiveness for your sins, you can also have freedom in other areas of your life. So freedom is a place where what is behind you no longer calls to you. And so what I'm talking about here is like maybe you were once held by something, and you can use that as a point of reference for other areas in your life now. Like you may have one time had an addiction to drugs or alcohol, or you may have had a real habit of gossiping or backbiting or just wanting to talk all the time about stuff and telling some new thing all the time. Anything you heard that was new, you just had to tell it. You know, maybe God set you free from that. When Satan comes around now and tries to push that button to get you to act that way again, it doesn't work because you're totally free from it. Do you see what I'm saying? This is the point of reference we want to have. Each one of us has some kind of place like that in our lives where that we have been set free. And so he wants us to take that reference and just like saying, okay, if God can set me free from this, he can also set me free from this. So he wants us to take that point of reference that we're now dead to that place. That place that we used to be bound by, we're dead to it now, and it doesn't operate anymore. It's like if the devil came to your house and pushed the doorbell, and you knew it was him out there, why would you go to the door? There's no point. I know who's out there, and I'm sure not opening the door. I'm not going to unlock it and let him in, so no, I am not reacting to the doorbell. You see, so those things that he tries to bring up and tempt you with again, you don't react to them because they have no place in your life now. You're just completely free. For myself, I can use the same for anger. I used to have the awfulest temper when I was young. Gee, my goodness, I had the bad temper. And people that don't know me, that know me now and didn't know me then, they just like, I can't believe that. You know, now if I get mad over something in 2 seconds, I'm done. I'm finished with it already. I just don't have that anymore. It doesn't tempt me. You see what I'm saying? So there's places in all of our lives that God has delivered us like that. That button doesn't work anymore, you know. And so Romans 7:6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were once held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so he's saying we have these parts of our lives that we have once been held by, but now we're free from. So we can take that same point of reference and take it into other parts of our lives about other things that we need to deal with that we have long let slide and they need attention. And I'm going to get to the reason why that he's talking to us about that right now in a little bit, but in John 14:30, Jesus is saying, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And so what he is saying there, he said, there comes the devil, but he doesn't have anything in me. In other words, there was no buttons he could push in Jesus. There was nothing he was going to react to. And Pastor Mike used to use this example of a corpse. If you went up there and you talked to that corpse, it doesn't talk back. You know, if you go up there and take hold of its hand, it doesn't squeeze back. You don't get a reaction from it. And so when you're dead to something, it doesn't have a reaction, you see. So if you're having places in your life that you're still having a reaction to, you're not dead to it. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we think we're free from something, but we're not. And so we might need a little work on that a little bit. So, now, does anybody have any questions or comments on what we've talked about so far?
I was kind of, what was Galatians 5? 5:1.
Yeah, Galatians 5:1. The other scriptures I read was Romans 6:22,
uh-huh.
Romans 8:2,
uh-huh. 7:6 and 14:30.
Yeah, John 14:30.
14:30.
Mm-hmm.
Is there? I have to say one more thing.
Okay.
I've been an alcoholic for quite a while, and but we got help and plus I went to meetings and everything, but it was through my family that helped me see the light of, you know, how that they helped me get through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
they supported you through.
But God is the one that really helped me right. See away from the alcohol.
Yeah.
And I've been sober for almost 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
October 19th of 91 was my last.
Yeah. And so God can really set you free from something, something that is so binding like alcohol. If he can set you free from alcohol, he can set you free from gossip. He can set you free from backbiting. He can set you free from fear. You know, so once we have that point of reference, we can see that God is mighty and he is able to do these things. And sometimes we think, oh, gosh. That's too big. Nobody can get delivered from that. That has such a hole that nobody can get out of that. But that's not right. That's the enemy lying about that. You see, God can set us free from these things that even we see as being very, very strong in our lives. Okay, the next one is there's no fear in freedom. And we're going to use the scripture 1 John 4:18. And it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who is fears has not been made perfect in love. The word perfect here refers to that which is reached an end or is complete. And so it's talking about this complete love that God has for us. And when we cling to that complete, perfect love that he has, we're giving that fear no room, you see. And so when we're clinging to that and we're confessing, basically, Father, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that I don't have to be afraid. I thank you that your perfect love is stronger than fear and is running it right out of my house. It doesn't live here. It doesn't have any place. I refuse to think about you. See what I'm doing? I'm speaking faith to myself. Sandy? It is. And there's all kinds of fear. You know, and let me tell you, fear has no rationality at all. It is not rational. It is just a demonic force that is just bombards you. And sometimes I can remember times where it felt like it just all of a sudden, just like a big old bird just come and landed on my head. You know, it just like, boom, it was there. And I didn't know it was coming. I didn't see it coming. It just got there, you know. And so there's all kinds of fear. There's fear of the unknown. There's fear of the spiritual realm. There's fear of what could happen to me. There's fear that's when you're in a controlling situation, you fear that you're going to mess up, that you're going to do something or say something wrong because that person has got such control over you. There's all kinds of levels of fear. And so when we think about that, we think somebody else is involved in that fear, we think, well, that's just foolish. They need to get over that. Well, they don't have a clue what they're talking about because they haven't lived there. And they haven't lived in the situation where somebody's had control over them and manipulated every single thing that they did or said for upteen months or years, and you try to break out of that, it ain't no easy feat. If you're afraid of the spiritual realm and you're starting all of a sudden to study in the Word of God and you see that you're going to have to face the spiritual realm, you're going to have to know something about it. Well, that's not an easy feat when you're scared of what's in that realm, you know. And so, you know, whatever the fear is, it's never going to be reasonable or rational. And so you have to just get that in your mind that I have to speak up and I have to take action, just like Sandy was talking about. I have to do something about this. I cannot stay in this same spot and get better. And so you start having to go forward. And so for me, it was like, Father, I thank you that you love me with perfect love. Your perfect love says it casts out fear. And so because I know your perfect love casts out fear, I know it won't coexist. And I know if I cling to you, your perfect love will cast it out. And even though that that it may seem big in my eyes, it's not big in your eyes. And so you will push it out and you will eradicate it from this place. And so what happens then in the spiritual realm is when we cling to that perfect love, the fear that used to be beaten on us, now perfect love is beaten on it. You see, it is pushing. It is like, the only way I know how to describe it is that one time I was at a Benny Hinn conference and everybody was just praising God, you know, just praising. And I just kind of looked over to the side and there was this big old strong guy, like you see big wrestlers on TV, you know, just big hefty strong guy. And he had this other guy right by the scuff of the neck and he was just on his collar of his shirt and was dragging him out of there. He was dragging him up the bleachers and out of there. And I thought, God, what in the world is happening here? You know, what? I thought that he had tried to maybe get to Benny Hinn or some of these people or something other. And I looked back and he wasn't there. I thought, okay, I've just seen into the spiritual realm here. This is not natural. This is spiritual. And what am I seeing here, God? And he said, that's a spirit of praise dragging them demons out of here. And so, you know, when we praise God, when we cling to his word and we're confessing faith, that's what's happening in the spiritual realm. Those things that's been beaten on you. You know, when Paul said that, it's in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe. Get there, Floyd. 2 Corinthians 12. Okay, yeah. And verse 7, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Buffet means to beat on. So this demon was beating on Paul. And so God says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul's response now, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul got what he was saying to him here. He was saying, okay, this thing is beaten on me, and you're telling me your grace is sufficient. Well, the root word for grace is charis, which means to joy or rejoice. And so that's the reason his response is, most gladly, therefore. See, he's rejoicing. So what happens when you rejoice and you praise, the same demon that was beaten on you is now getting beat on. So it's just like, you know, another place Paul said, I fight not as one who beats the air. In other words, he was saying, I make every lick count. And so when you start praising, you start rejoicing, you start confessing what the Word of God says, then what's happening in the spiritual realm is those angels are coming and they are beating them demons away from you. And just like that's the reason I'm saying perfect love pushes out fear. It will not coexist with it. It will keep pushing. It will keep beating till it's gone. And so that's why we have to remember that whatever we're struggling with, there's an answer for. That God has a way of getting that off of you. God has a way of getting you liberty from that and freedom from that. And he will deliver you and he will set you free. But we have to understand what our part is to do and do it. You see, just like Sandy had to go get in the car and drive it. And she had to go back again. It wasn't just one time. It just didn't all disappear the first time she went out and got in the car, you know. And so you have to keep on beating that thing. And every time it comes back again, you say, oh, no, you're not living here with me. Nuh-uh. I'm clinging to God's perfect love, and you are not living here. So, see, you have to keep doing it until there's no response from you anymore. You see what I'm saying? You don't have that feeling of fear anymore. It's gone. And so you keep on till it's done. So this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying a freedom is a place where it no longer calls to you. It no longer has any power. It no longer has any place in you. It is completely driven away from you. And so anybody got any questions or more comments about that before we go on to the next one? Okay, so there's no fear in freedom. There's no fear in freedom. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears is made not made perfect in love. I did that already, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong one. Freedom is a place of clarity. Did I not do that? I did that one. Yeah. I know I read that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah, you
did. Yeah, that's right. I did. So now freedom is a place of clarity. And 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, most all of us know this because we say God has not given us a spirit of fear. But we quit right there. And we don't realize that God has given us, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power. He has given us love. And he has given us a sound mind. And so we're going to concentrate on that part of being a sound mind today. And basically it's from two Greek words combined, which is SOS, which means safe, and phen, P-H-E-N, which means the mind. In other words, this sound mind means a safe thinking mind. And so the word denotes good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, the ability to understand and make right decisions. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. Now, just like we were talking a few minutes ago about how that we have to do our part in it. God has made the promise. He has given it there. And all of us can say all of God's promises are yes and amen. But we have to claim those promises. It's just like that inheritance is put in the bank. And all of this is money, say, it's put in your bank account. If you never withdraw a penny of that, it doesn't do you a bit of good, does it? It's put there for a purpose so that you can have it to use. And so he's saying that I'm giving you power. I'm giving you love, like perfect love cast out fear. There's purposes in it, as well as the benefits of just being and feeling loved. And so there's love is more powerful than we can even think or imagine. But also this safe thinking mind, we've got to do something about it. We've got to lay hold on that promise and pull it into our lives. And so it is the very opposite of being anxious or worried or double-minded. It's the very opposite of that. It's a safe thinking mind, one that's grounded in disciplined thought patterns, one that is saying, no, I recognize who you are and you're not coming in. Disciplined thought patterns. I don't just let you just walk in just anytime you want to. And I know that anybody that's been around me a long time has heard this one thing where I used to have this reoccurring dream where the devil comes to the door, knocks on the door. I open the door. He comes in, gets my stuff, and carries it off. A few days later, he comes back again. Knocks on the door. I open the door, he comes in and gets my TV and whatever and carries it all off. He was stealing from me continually, and I was opening the door for him. Well, that sounds real stupid, don't it? Well, the thing about it is there's lots of us in our minds and the things that we're doing, we're opening the door for him, and we don't understand what we're doing. So we have to get a hold of that and not be bombarded with that. But, you know, we don't react to it anymore because we recognize who it is at the door and we're not saying, no, you're not coming in here. And no, you can't have my stuff, you know. So this word for anxious means to divide into parts. And it denotes distraction, worry, a preoccupation with things causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. Anybody relate to any of that? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this is the opposite of a safe thinking mind. And so with a safe thinking mind, we have to turn them off, them anxious thoughts around into a prayer of thanksgiving or a confession of faith. And so we say, for example, let's just use money, for example. But anybody can relate to that. You know, and you say, I just don't have enough to pay this bill, God, and I'm stressing over it. I don't know how I'm getting a hold of it. I don't have the money. It's not there in my bank account. I don't know what to do, God. And anybody been there? I have, certainly plenty of times. And so what you have to do is you have to flip that around and you have to say, Father, I thank you that you knew this day was coming and you knew my need. You said, you know my need even before I ask it. So, Father, I thank you that you laid up provision somewhere for this need. And I call it out now, God, to just loose it to come to me. And I thank you, Father, that you have got his on its way. It's going to show up, and I don't know what kind of format or where it's going to come in or where it's going to come from, but I just thank you, God, that it's coming. You see, you're making a confession of faith instead of worrying how it's going to get there. You see the difference? So you're choosing to have a safe thinking mind instead of a mind that's pressured and stressed and worried. So it can be anything about relationships, and, you know, not just money. You know, I don't want you to get stuck just on money. I want you to understand every part of your life that you're stressed on. Like, for example, I sometimes get stressed and pressured at work when big projects are happening and I'm given 500 things to do at one time or it feels like it, you know. And you're thinking, how can I get all this done, Lord, in the amount of time that I've got to do it in? And God, just help me to divide this in parts so that I can manage it. And then I start to set around it. And then I think, I cannot do this all by myself. So I start pulling in people to help me. Can you think you can do that part? Do you think you can do that part? Do you think you can do this part? What part of this do you think you can do? Well, I can't do the title work. Okay, but you could put this in the computer for me so I don't have to type it. You see what I'm saying? You can divide that out, workload out, and distribute it in such a way that it can be done and the pressure's lifted off of you. And so when we look for God to give us an answer, but we have to stop and pray and say, Father, you know how to divide this up in the way it can be done. I know that you've got the way to do this, and I thank you, Father, that you've got the way to do it. And open my mind to wisdom and understanding so that I can see how to lay it out here, God. Send me the help that I need to do this with. So see, there's not just money. It can be any area of your life. It can be relationships. It can be work. It can be any place. But when this kind of attack comes from the enemy, then we have to understand, hey, wait a minute, I've got a safe thinking mind. I'm going to choose to operate in disciplined thought patterns. I'm going to choose to have a safe thinking mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to make active choices to operate in this way. Any of you ever felt like that you was bombarded to the point that you couldn't hardly think at all? Yeah. You know, it's just like a flurry of activity has come and just hitting you from 100 different directions. Yeah. And so that we have to realize this battlefield of the mind. And Satan is trying his best to get a place inside so that he can operate to manipulate you and to make you afraid, to send you in a direction that you don't want to go, to get you involved with people that you don't need to be hanging out with, or, you know, just on and on and on, 100 different directions, or to a place you can't even think clearly. So I'm thinking now, what's coming out of my mouth now is, I can't make good decisions. I can't remember a thing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm always running late. I'm just messing up everywhere I turn. Y'all relate? All right, but see, that's a lie from the enemy.
You're opening the door, Jennifer.
Yeah, and see what I'm saying? That's that knocking, but we're opening the door and don't realize what we're doing. We all got them. Every one of us has got them. But that's the reason I've said he wants us to have this word that we can be free. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know, hey, I'm calling on you to come. You can be free. And so he's saying, you know, the verse 7 out of that same passage there in Philippians 4:6, which was be anxious for nothing, that passage, verse 7 says there, but the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, in other words, you can't understand it with your mind, the peace of God comes and just guards your mind that you can have peace there in the midst of all of that flurry of activity from the enemy all of a sudden you can have peace. Because why? You have switched it around. You're saying, like Jennifer was saying there, I can't remember nothing. I thank you, God, that I can remember. I can remember better than I've ever remembered in my life. I thank you, Lord, that your word says the memory of the just is blessed. And I thank you, God, that I'm justified in you. I'm standing in you, and my memory is blessed. And I thank you, God, that you're blessing it. You're causing me to remember people's names. You're causing me to remember their children's names. You're causing me to remember about it so much I remember to pray for them. And I thank you, God. You see what I'm saying? You're turning that around into making it something that is safe instead of a place where you're opening the door for the enemy. That's right. Tongue is life and death. But we're speaking so much death that we don't know it. The enemy has tricked us into doing that, and we have done it for so long, we have forgot to look for those places that we're speaking death and don't realize it.
What was 2 Timothy?
7. 2 Timothy 1:7. And so then verse 8 says, tells us to think on what is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, and whatever is praiseworthy. In other words, how many of us spend time thinking about what's bad? What's so awful and so yucky, and this situation can't be changed, it can't get any better. You know, we're thinking such negative thoughts and such bad thoughts that we have to remember to come back and tell ourselves, hey, I'm supposed to be thinking on what's good here. So I thank you, Father, that this situation with this guy that such and such situation, I thank you, Father, that you're intervening in that situation. I thank you, Lord, that the justice system knows how to deal with it, and you are bringing it up just as soon as it can be done. I thank you, Father, for that, and you have a way of dealing with all of that. I thank you, Father, I don't know what to do about this relationship. But I know you do, God. So I just thank you, Lord, that you're bringing me the wisdom and understanding I know how to do to operate in this situation so that I am loving and kind and I distribute your character here. You see what I'm saying? I'm thinking about something good now instead of thinking about that relationship and how bad it is. Do you see what I'm saying? No matter what area it is that the enemy is attacking and knocking on the door to let him in. So we can start sowing right now into our freedom. We can right now begin to sow into our freedom. But we have to recognize where we're at right now and start making some changes and start making a commitment to have a safe thinking mind. Number 5 is freedom is a place of thankfulness. Thankful for God's deliverance. Luke 17:12-19 says, "And then he entered a certain village, meaning Jesus, and there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But now where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole.'" So all 10 got a physical healing because it says as they went, they were cleansed. But only one got a spiritual healing, the one that came back and gave thanks and glorified God for his healing. So thankful heart does something inside of us. And when we practice being thankful, and I know you all have heard me tell this when I was in such awful shape where that I was just trying to think of something to be thankful for. And I sat there half an hour, 45 minutes went by, I still not had thought of one thing to be thankful for. That was the shape I was in. So I came up with, I said, I'm going to sit here till I have 3 things. I'm not getting up from this place until I can think of 3 things to be thankful for. So I thought of those 3 things, and I got up. So the next night, I said, okay, tonight I'm going to think of 4 things. I've got the 3 I had yesterday, and so I'm going to think of, I couldn't think of the 3 I had yesterday. Sometimes we are letting our minds get in such a place that we forget the things that we should just automatically be thankful for. Thank you, God, for my health. Thank you for a good job. You know, thank you that you are providing for me, God. And, you know, what we do is, I hate this job. I just can't stand it. I don't want to go there again. I hate this job. You see what's coming out of our mouth? We should be saying, I thank you, Father, for my job. I thank you that you provided this for me to have income for my family, to take care of my family. And I thank you, God, you know exactly what I need, and so you're bringing me up into a better job. And I thank you that you're bringing it in, you're bringing me peace in this job, or you're bringing me into a place where I have a better job. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I just appreciate it, God. And I just want you to know, I'm thanking you in advance, because I just know it's coming. And so, you know, when we do that, we're developing a thankful heart. We're developing an attitude of thankfulness. And it makes a big difference, because actually the quality of your life will depend on how thankful you are. Now stop and think about that. The real quality of your life will depend on how thankful you are. Number six, freedom is a place of standing still, having seen the salvation of the Lord. So freedom is a place of, I'm just going to go in right into the scripture. Exodus 14, 11 through 14 says, "Now when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them." This is where they're entering the Red Sea. "So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, 'Because there was no graves in Egypt, you have taken us out to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that you told, that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we would die in the wilderness." Then Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will see again no more forever. Cancer that you see today, you'll see no more again forever. Lack of finances, you know, you'll see no more again forever. You're dying right here in the sea. You're not following me out of here." And so you have to keep, you know, thinking about that way. But the next scripture says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." In other words, shut up. All this stuff is flying out of your mouth that don't need to. It's just doubt. It's fear. You're speaking all of these things. It's just giving the enemy room instead of giving me something to work with. Instead of giving faith for him to work with. We're speaking all this stuff that's not right. And so he's just telling you, "I'll fight for you if you would ever just shut up." You know? And isn't it true? It's true. It's absolutely true. And then the other one is in 2 Chronicles 20, 17 through 24. And this is a very familiar passage to us, but I want to make a point here. It says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah at that time, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So they arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Jerusalem, and you inhabitants of O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army, saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill them and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. So I want you to see there was three armies coming against Judah. Three separate different armies. There was Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. There was three armies. And these armies of Ammon and Moab turned on Mount Seir and killed them all. And then they turned on each other, and all of them killed each other till there was nobody left. But that all happened when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes. Remember what I said earlier about the spirit of praise carrying out them demons, pulling them out of that place? That is what happens when we begin to sing, when we begin to speak right things. When we begin to do this and we begin to praise the Lord for the beauty of His holiness, and we begin to speak what matters, what is right, what is good, what is lovely, what is truth, and we begin to speak with faith, and we begin to do that, the Lord sets ambushes on our enemies. And so what happened to these enemies, they were so confused because you've been in a fog which is so thick you can't see hardly anything. That's what happened to these armies. They couldn't even tell who they was fighting. They was fighting, you know, they were so confused that they were turning on each other and fighting each other. I don't know if they thought they was fighting Judah or what, but they just all killed each other. And so when they get there then, there's all of these bodies just everywhere laying on the ground, and there's not a one of them left. And the Bible says it took them 3 days to carry away all the valuables that was on them. Now, who takes all their valuables to the battle with them? I mean, you had to know that God was laying up provision before they even started out. You know, before they even came to fight, they were carrying the valuables with them that He was going to bless Israel with. So, you know, God has got provision laid up for us. But if we will learn to control our mouth, and we will learn to have a safe thinking mind, and you know that what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. So it's a good indicator of what's growing in my heart. When I look at what's coming out of my mouth, sit down and just take a listen one day, all through the day. Just write down every time you find yourself thinking about something that's out of order or speaking something that's out of order. You'll be shocked by the end of the day how much of that stuff is coming out of your mouth. What we speak matters, and even the praise and the holiness and the beauty of who He is. They knew that there had no way they could fight this army, but God had told them that they wouldn't have to fight. But He said, you have to go out to the battle. And so the singers and the praisers were on the front line. So you got to realize that in spiritual warfare, praise and worship is your front line. The front line, that's what you, that first thing you call on is the praise and worship has to come out of your mouth. And you say, I don't feel like singing today. Well, it's time to offer the sacrifice of praise. You know, that's spiritual warfare, and that's how it works.
Did I say something?
I sure can.
Me personally, I'm going through spiritual warfare at the moment. And for anybody that hasn't been through one, I can say right now, it is, you can tell, it is physical. Mm-hmm. It affects your body, it affects your energy, it affects everything. And for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or more, I have been fighting the spiritual warfare battle. And it does start with the mind. We have to be thankful for the things that God has given us, first and foremost. And we have to sing those praises and shout that victory that God has given us. You know, and but don't let that fool you. Just because, well, I'm doing good. I'm shouting praises. I'm saying victories. I'm doing all this stuff I'm supposed to be doing. The devil ain't going to let up. And no way he is going to let up. In fact, he's going to come harder at you. And he's going to try to find different avenues that he can get you. And he's going to try to find the weak spot. And when he finds a weak spot, he's going to hammer down on them.
That's those buttons that still work.
Yeah, and that's when we have to be even more cautious. Because, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail what's going on, but I got past the point a couple days ago, last Friday. I was like, oh, finally, I get past this, move on. Then Sunday hit me again. I'm like, man, come on. Then Monday and Tuesday, I was just listening to praise and worship, just praising God, and it went away. And then they hit me again. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me, you know? It's like, cut me some slack already.
Spiritual warfare is like this. I don't know if y'all remember me telling about this dream that I had where I was running through these gray ash places. It's like gray ash all the place. And there was nobody in there, and I ran through that one and just busted through the next set of doors, and I ran through that set of doors. Well, basically, what those places are as empty as places you've already conquered. as places that you've already driven the enemy out of, you see. And you're going deeper and deeper. And so not only do you have to fight the battle, you have to hold the ground. That's a tough, tough lesson, Jane. And so right now he needs you to pray for him. He needs you to praise on his behalf because he has to hold the ground that he's gaining. And he is gaining it because he's having days, more than one day, 2 days in a row. And so, you know, he's gaining ground. So, but he needs to get to the place where that enemy no longer dwells in that area. Do you see what I'm saying? Whatever that place is that he's fighting from, he will keep driving him out and away from that place. And then, you know, there'll be a time of peace, and then God will call you to drive on farther into that realm and to drive away other places in your life, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why we need each other. It's why we need each other. That's why we're a body, you know. The foot has to have the arm, you know what I'm saying? Even though it doesn't look like it's connected, it's all connected. We all have to have each other. And it's...
I was going to say, and that is why the battle is in the mind.
Yeah.
Because our mind controls our body physically. Mm. It controls our emotions.
Yeah.
Everything that we say and do starts up here in your mind.
And that's why you get relief when you start praising. Because you are using your mouth and you're using your mind to worship him and to praise him, and using your heart and your feelings, and you're using your mouth, and all of a sudden the enemy has no place. Why? Because the enemies, the angels are standing there and they're beating them enemies just like this. They're just making every lick count when you're doing that.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Sunday, it was raining. I dropped Trish and Mandy off here, but crazy me, get an oil change the way you're not supposed to do it. So I had to take the car to Walmart to get them fixed during church because I didn't want Mandy and Trish in the car, you know. But for the first time, and I knew, when I felt this, I knew it was not from God. I had to repent, like, right there in the middle of Walmart, okay? And that's weird, man, let me tell you. But I didn't miss church that day. That's how tired I was. I was like, it didn't bother me. Honestly, I was just like, feels pretty good. And I was like, this ain't from God. Yeah. God wants us to be together. You know, so right then and there, I said, not today, Satan. And I repented from it. But I mean, like, for the last several weeks, I didn't want to deal with people. I didn't want to deal with the church. I didn't want to deal with people. It's been hard.
It is. It you know, and you have to realize that kind of battle takes all of your energy. Yeah. It takes all your strength. It takes your focus. It takes that kind of, all of that. And that's the reason we all have to help each other, and we have to have help.
See, that had some.
Okay.
And with the verses that you've been reading, and then also what he had to say, I was sitting here thinking about little David. We all face giants.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And with him going out just to take stuff to his brothers in battle, and to see this big, huge, loud, terrible giant, but to know, you know, he's talking about my God. And for him to have been so bold to speak to that giant, went straight up and was, you know, after that the giant laughed in his face, like, why are you all sending me this puny little thing to fight me? You know, I could just, if David had went in himself, he would have been a dead man just like that. But he knew God was sending him. And he said, you come to me with the sword and the shield, but I come in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And God put enough velocity behind that slingshot to make that stone sink right into that giant skull, to knock him slap out to where that David could cut his head off. And even though he conquered in that and, you know, scared the Philistines to death, and, you know, they conquered that day, he took his everything back to his tent to look back on the days that were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there were days that were bad. And one of the things that I love about David as a songwriter, too, he was honest. And sometimes there were days that were so bad that he had to encourage himself in the faith.
Yeah.
And he would say, where are you? I know that you've been there for me. I know that you have. And then he would just have to praise, and he would have to encourage himself in that faith and just keep on going. And then God would show up in a mighty way.
Yeah. And it also took to, there's another lesson there I'm going to grab right quick from what she just summarized, is that the Philistine had said, if you send somebody out here and you fight our giant and you defeat him, we will be your servants. Well, they wouldn't have, one of them stayed around to be a servant. They all ran.
They got gone.
And they had to flee after them and cut them down as they went. But the enemy's always going to lie to you. And that's what I want to get out of that. The enemy's always going to lie to you. And so, you know, you never, when you hear that voice like Shane did, and you know that's not the voice of God, it's right then the time to cut that down, because that's not happening. Don't believe any of that, because it's not happening. We're just about to run out of time, so I'm going to kind of summarize the parts that are left. And freedom is a place of growth and prosperity. And so in the time of Solomon's reign and 1 Chronicles 22:9, 1 Chronicles 29:23, 1 Kings 4:24 through 28, 1 Kings 10:6 through 8. All of these passages talks about the condition that the realm was in when Solomon was reigning. And it talks about how that they had rest from their enemies all around about, that they dwelt in safely and peace on every side, that they had prosperity and no lack, and even that there was such wisdom flowing that it was amazing to behold the people that knew how to build and to build all these large cities and do all these things. And it said that happy was his men and happy was his servants. And so this time, that God will give us a time of peace and rest from our enemies. And this time is a time of growth and prosperity. And we need to know that when we're in that time of peace, it's not the time to just relax and kick back and say, okay, finally a rest. No, it's time to grow. It's time to eat all you can eat from the Word. It's time to put in everything that you can get from Him, because you're going to need that in that time, because it's the time to lay up stores. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now there's freedom in redemption. And, you know, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we have that freedom that's in Him, because He bought us with a price. He paid for us. And so we're not our own to just go out and do whatever we want to do. We are His. We belong to Him. And we want to act like we got our own decisions. We can do whatever we want to, just live our lives the way we want to. We belong to Him. He deserves everything that we've got. Amen. Love Him with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your body, all of your strength. And so the last part I want to cover is basically how to get free. And that's the part we was talking about, John 8:31-32. And it said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he listened, he said to those Jews who believed him. So you've got to do some, you know, got to have some word to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to have some word. And then he said, if you abide in my word. Abide means to live in, to dwell in, to stay in it continually. And so to abide in my words, then you will become, as you read the word, you know the word, you practice the word, you're becoming disciples. You see? And so when you're my disciples indeed, and then you'll start really knowing the truth. And Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you start really knowing him intimately, the way he thinks about things, the way he operates, the way he speaks, shut up now. Speak that. You know, speak out what I'm saying to you. Whatever he's leading you, you know, you are with him and you know him. You know his voice. You know that special feeling you have when he's in, you know, his presence is by. And you know when he starts speaking to you and giving you the words of a song. You know when he starts speaking to you and say, I want you to speak this out. You know when he's speaking to you just to comfort your heart. You know, you begin to know him and the way he thinks and the way he moves. And when you begin to know him, then you begin to know the truth is setting you free. Because for you to do anything that against him hurts your heart, because you know him. You see what I'm saying? That know is an intimate term, like Adam knew his wife and she conceived. You know, it is talking about not sexual here, but it's talking about the intimacy of knowing the way he operates and the way he loves and the way he lives and his life and his joy and his fruit being born through you, being just coming out on the branches. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So where's the fruit born? On the branches. So he's letting that flow from the vine out to the branches to you, and fruit is being born through you. It's being produced through you. And so when that happens, you begin to know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. And I can remember when I was down praying before I would go for my chemo treatments, and I was got to the place that I was saying, God, if there's anything between me and you, I need to know. Because when I went in there and had those chemo treatments, I saw people having a harder, you know, just trouble with their hearts from the chemotherapy, and they was having to take them upstairs and put them in the hospital. You know, that was what I was facing every time I went. And so I'm praying, God, if there's anything in between us, if there's anything that you need to talk to me about, let's talk now before I go have this. And I thank you, God, as I would take communion, I thank you that your body is in there, your blood is in there, and you will protect me as I go. And so I began to know him, and the thoughts of having anything in my heart that wasn't pleasing to him hurt my heart. You know, and so I can relate to that from that time because of that's the way he dealt with me at that time. I began to know things about him that I'd never known before. And so I want us to finish up with this, and this is so important, so I want you to really, really get this. He's saying to me, it's springtime. It's a springtime in the spiritual realm. What do you do in the springtime? You go out and you clean off your garden.
Clean up.
You clean up. It's a time to prepare. It's a time to plow up the ground. It's a time to plant the word in your heart. This is not harvest time, but this is the planting time. If you want some freedom, now's the time to plant. And he's saying, oh, we think, well, I can do that anytime. He's saying this is a spiritual season of springtime. And if you will plant now, you will get a tremendous harvest. And so he's saying to us that those things that we have been bound by for so long that we never thought we could be free from, this is the time you can be free. So I want you to really get that. The God is saying, this is the time. This is the time you want to plant. You want to really plant. You want to get that word and you want to put it in your heart and you want to hold on to it tight. You want to do everything that you can to get as close to God as you can get right now. And you want to water the word. How do you water the word? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You plant by speaking. Now you speak over the word, just like we've been talking about. I thank you, Father, that you're here with me. I thank you that perfect love is casting out fear. What you're doing is you're watering the word that's already in there, you see. When you speak, you water. You also plant when you speak. So it's a two-way street there. But God is the one that gives the increase, and he's saying, now is the time. If you will plant, I will give the increase. So I want us to really, really know about that. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had a slave mentality. And so we have to be careful right now that we don't carry our slave mentality farther. This is a time for freedom. If we plant freedom, we'll get freedom. So now is the time we can be free of those things that have been holding back us back for a long time. It's last Wednesday night when we had prayer meeting up here, I saw things that shook me to the core, and I'm not talking about it in a bad way, I'm talking about it in an excited way. Basically, I saw a door back there with a round door like that, over like that, and God just walked in. I mean, I could tell right where he was standing. I mean, it's like right now the hair standing up on my head just thinking about it. It was so powerful and mighty, and he's saying, I am walking among you. I am here. I have your prayers. I have them laid out before my throne. I am watching over them to their completion. And so, you know, he's saying, you got to shake off that slave mentality. Don't take that with you. Don't take it forward with you. Leave that behind. Just like Paul was talking about that demon that was beating on him, I know how to deal with you now. Every time you start beating on me, I'm going to start saying, most gladly, therefore, I am going to start praising God, and I know that God is going to make every lick count. He's going to beat on you. And so those things that's been beating on us, it's time for the to let the Lord beat on them. And so we just got to shake off that slave mentality and not carry it forward with us. Do you see how that those people talked when they talked to Moses? Moses said, shut up, basically. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were talking about the past. They were talking about how good they had it in Egypt, and they were slaves there. You know, don't look back to the time of slavery. Look forward to the time of freedom. Does anybody got any questions or comments before we wrap up here?
I can say that one thing is that when I was first started coming, I used to hate my stepmother. Mm-hmm. And most of y'all know this. Well, now my daughter-in-law was saying that she hopes her dad just kicks over and dies. This is her biological father. But now...
Now you can...
I told her that I used to be that way, but now I'm just praying for her to, you know...
Right, and she can see in you that you can be free from that, that it's possible to be free from that. Praise God for that. Praise God.
You know, I kind of stood up, but in a way I can relate to how she was feeling, because I was feeling that way.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
I even said that when she did go, I was going to have a party.
But now you're free from that.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't. That button doesn't work anymore.
No.
That's a room that's cleared out. All right. God bless you all.